Aaron Judge happened. The Brewers still won a series, and they're in the thick of it in the wild card race. There was some good, there was some bad. We're going to go through all of it this weekend. They take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, and that's a heck of a step forward. I am not going to complain about not getting a sweep. There are maybe moments of frustration, but I'm going to explain. You should be happy right now. Let's talk about it next.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Wisconsin's feeling a lot better this week as opposed to last Monday, right? Packers win, Badgers win, Brewers take a big series against the Yankees, and now tonight you get ready for an ace off. Corbin Burns versus Max Scherzer? Sign me up. Can't wait to watch this one tonight. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brew Crew all season long. I'm the post-game host on WTMJ for Brewers Extra Innings, and I'm the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin. We got a lot to get through in this one. We're not going to recap the games per se, but I've got 5 bullets. I've got good, bad, odd, encouraging, and alarming bullet points I want to go through from this weekend and from really September as a whole as the Brewers prepare for the final 2-plus weeks of the season. We're also going to talk about Corbin Burns, and we're going to talk about this rotation and what they need to do moving forward. We do have some injury updates as well, and we'll briefly just talk about, you know, baseball as a whole right now. As we start this episode with a standings update, the Brewers technically didn't gain any ground this weekend, which is odd that you won a series against the Yankees, didn't gain any ground. It's because they're 2 games back, so if you want to get technical, yes, they gained a half game. But it's only because San Diego and Philadelphia flipped positions during this weekend. Philadelphia has lost 4 games in a row, so now they are the 3rd wild card. The Brewers are 2 games back of them, but essentially 3 because of the lack of the tiebreaker. But San Diego, with them winning 3 in a row, they flip Philadelphia. But everything's squished now. From the 2nd wild card to the last wild card, it's a 2.5 game difference, essentially 3.5. But you have 1 bad week this week, and the other team has a good week, you can find yourself chasing for the final stretch. This week is just as important as the final week, because you can maybe take advantage of a flip, take advantage of an odd standings race, you can take advantage of an injury. Juan Soto woke up yesterday. That was going to be a big part of my episode today, that Juan Soto had been ice cold entering yesterday. He had a couple of hits, including a double. But we talk about the gauntlet that the Brewers are going through right now with the Cardinals and the Yankees and now the Mets. Well, the Padres are entering one of their gauntlets here remaining now. Starting tonight, they will take on starting tomorrow, they will have a 3-game series with the St. Louis Cardinals back in San Diego. Then they'll go to Colorado. Always tough to play in Colorado. They haven't been to Colorado for a while, actually, too. So completely different time since the last time they saw them. They haven't been there since July, since the first half. Then they come back home for the Dodgers, and then 3 for the White Sox. Now, the White Sox, you might be saying, Dom, they're not that good. But hey, it's a decent team. They're trying to fight. Those games could be meaningful to the White Sox, as you never know what's going to happen with the Guardians. But the White Sox feel like they can fight and stay alive. I'll let them believe that and also fit this narrative saying that it's a little bit of a mini gauntlet coming up for San Diego. But look, St. Louis, tough place to pitch in Colorado, and then Los Angeles. This is their 9-game stretch that they have to survive given what the Brewers and the Phillies have ahead of them. The Mets are no easy task. Of course, with Max Scherzer on the mound, it's especially not an easy task. But this is where the Brewers have to start making their move. They proved that they can do it over the weekend against the Yankees. Taking 2 out of 3, I was very encouraged. I saw Twitter starting to believe it. I saw that clubhouse start to believe it. And yes, yesterday they lost. But what I loved about that game, even though it was 12-8, you felt like you were in it. Even when it was 12-6, you felt like you were in it. When it was 10-4, you felt like you were in it. It was a weird feeling that we haven't felt with this offense in a long time, where they punch back. Yes, they fell short on getting the home run, but it was home run or bust at that point. Keston Hiura grounding out to end the game. Yes, Keston was back in the order. That's going to be one of the bullet points coming up here in just a little bit. But for the Brewers to prove they can punch back, and it takes a Herculean effort from Aaron Judge and a bunch of seeing eye, broken bat, fluky plays in that 4th inning, I'm not that mad at the 4th inning, how 4 runs scored, Colton Wong's weird play at second base, a broken bat, Urias knocking down a screamer at 3rd, then they couldn't get an out. I mean, it was just a cavalcade of just many errors that aren't really errors that suddenly added up, and then you blink and there's four runs across the board. I thought the Brewers, the thing that was exposed in that is that they really missed having that high leverage middle reliever. I mean, Justin Topa did his best, but you got to come in firing strikes. Hobie Milner didn't fire strikes, and he didn't get his guy that he was supposed to get in Anthony Rizzo, and that's what let that whole inning spiral out of control. But this isn't a recap. I'm just talking, look, you felt like you were in it yesterday. You had a lead against Gerrit Cole. That's an encouraging sign. Yes, they didn't close it out, but it's the first time in a while. I mean, you look at the last week, right? They performed really well against Jordan Montgomery, a lefty who's been on fire in the second half. Then they performed really well against Gerrit Cole. They performed really well against Frankie Montas. They're doing it against the game's quote-unquote top half of starting pitchers. That's very encouraging to see. Yes, Adam Wainwright shut them down, but Adam Wainwright's been shutting them down for the last 17 seasons. Okay, he's a wily vet. He knows what he's doing. I love what I'm seeing from the offense right now. I love what Craig Counsell had to say after the game, that it stinks that you feel like you wasted a great offensive performance, but you also feel like you left a few out there, which means there's still more room to grow. And that's all we've been asking for the Brewers the last couple of weeks, right? Try to execute with runners in scoring position. The Brewers went 4-for-15 in this game with runners in scoring position. Not great, but again, 15 at-bats with runners in scoring position. On Saturday night, they were only 1-for-5, but managed to win the game thanks to the home runs, of course, another one by Willy Adames on Saturday night. But then, complete opposite on Friday, 4-for-16 with runners in scoring position. So you add it all up on this week, they go a total of 10-for-36 with runners in scoring position. That's just official at-bats. That's not even counting sac flies. That's not counting walks. That's still .277 for your batting average. That's not the end of the world, right? It may sound pretty bad on surface level. .277 is not the end of the world. You're not going to hit .300 all the time with runners in scoring position. You'd like to, but with the Brewers proving that they can do it, they can punch back, and especially Friday night, man. Being down 5-0 in an inning and a half after leaving the bases loaded in the first, you were already signing off. I saw it on Twitter. I saw it. They came right back. I think Friday's game energized them in a feeling that they haven't had in such a long time. Willy Adames' 3-run homer on Friday, man, what a tear this guy is on. That's a big bullet point coming up here in just a second. So I just wanted to give a quick standings update, a quick health of the feel of the team right now. But the Brewers are in this, man. I with 2+ weeks to go, right, the Brewers are currently 2 games, essentially 3 games back of a wild card spot. They're 78-68, 10 games over .500, still a solid record. They're going to finish over .500. They've got an opportunity to maybe sneak in with 89-88 wins is a realistic option to win 10 more games of these final 16. That's certainly doable, but you may need to win 12 to get to that 90 win total that everyone talks about. If you can go 12-4, that should be good enough in my opinion, but you can't control what the other team does. All you can ask is they're playing well, and it looks like the Brewers are about to start playing well again. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, the odd, the encouraging, and the alarming here in just a second. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered all season long. Pro and college football, odds, props, betting needs, sports information, everything you could find football season related. They've got the final win totals coming up as well for Major League Baseball. They'll have playoff props coming up there as well. You can find game matchups, news, podcasts. You've got all the spreads for next week's games already up there. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. They've got MLB, NFL, MMA, boxing, golf, NBA is right around the corner. NHL is right around the corner. You can head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and get in on the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. If you're watching on YouTube, fancy new overlay, eh? We're looking at the good, the bad, the odd, and the encouraging, and the alarming. Like, this is a little play on the good, the bad, and the ugly, but I feel like that doesn't talk about a whole entire segment, right? So let's start with the bad stuff. Let's get the bad stuff out of the way. Let's start with the bad. Hunter Renfro, Andrew McCutchen, and Rowdy Tellez's slumps right now here in the month of September. The only one hitting over .200 in this month is Renfro, and he's hitting .209 of those three guys. Renfro's hitting .209 in September. Kutch is hitting .197 in September. Rowdy's hitting .191. Granted, Rowdy's hit 4 homers. Kutch has hit 2. Renfro's hit 2. But they're going to need those guys on base a little bit more as opposed to just hitting homers, trying to will this offense in the middle of this order, right? Because the bottom of the order had a pretty good weekend, specifically Garrett Mitchell and Tyrone Taylor getting things done. The top third of the order has been really good. Yelich still hitting above 260 easily. Adames is on fire right now. Rowdy or whoever you put in the three hole, that's where it starts to kind of taper off. So they need to get that 3-4-5, 3-4-5-6 figured out with Colton Wong included in that too. But great to see Colton Wong hit a homer. First homer in a while for him. Three-run shot off of Gerrit Cole. But that's my bad, right? What's going on with the meat of your order? Because you're going to need them to get going here in the final 2.5 weeks. That's my bad. The alarming is the holes in the rotation. And I'm going to go over the rotation in the final segment here at more in depth. But look, Jason Alexander, it kind of went as you expected against the New York Yankees, right? Jason is a ground ball specialist. He's a changeup specialist, but he can only see a lineup twice. That's all you can do, especially against the New York Yankee lineup. I think the Brewers knew that. I think Jason knew that. And I think the Yankees knew that. So when he runs into trouble and you have to get that bullpen up a little earlier than you anticipated and Aaron Judge is going off and everybody is, oh my gosh, we got to pitch to Aaron Judge. And in that kind of game starting to spiral out of control, it's really hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube, if you know what I'm saying. That was just another example of how much injuries have really impacted the team this year and how much we forget there really weren't any injuries last season for the Brewers, right? Burns, aside from COVID, was healthy for the entire season. Woodruff, healthy for the entire season. Lauer wasn't even a starter for the whole year, but healthy the entire season. Peralta missed time with his shoulder, but he only missed about 3 weeks, so healthy for the majority of the season. The only guy that really dealt with injury was Brett Anderson last year, and Brett's not pitching anymore. So that's the thought with that, that you're seeing tangibly what's hurting the Brewers right now is the lack of consistent starting pitching because of their injuries. You would have loved to have Eric Lauer available for one of these games. Adrian Hauser had a tough go of it on Friday. Put the bullpen behind the eight ball. Really proud of them on Friday, but to ask them to do it again on Sunday, going for a sweep, it was a tall order. And the alarming is you need to fix this rotation. And we're going to have a preview of what I think the Brewers should do. I'm not saying this is what it's going to be. What I think the Brewers should do to set up the rotation for the final 2.5 weeks. Now let's get to the good stuff here. Let's go with the good. Willy Adames. Holy cow. This dude's on fire. What a story it's been. He's now got the all-time franchise record for home runs by a shortstop in Brewer history. He's got 30. He ain't stopping there. He's got a legitimate shot at 100 RBIs this season, too. Now, that would be awesome out of your shortstop two-hole hitter to have 100 RBIs out of him. But here's Adames in the month of September. Hitting .299. I'm going to round up, call it .300. He's got 7 doubles, 4 homers, a .382 on base, a .582 slug, and an OPS of .964. Here's my most important stat for Willie coming here for the month of September. This is going to blow your mind. It's my most important stat. Willie Adames leads the Brewers in walks in September. I'm going to say that again. Willie Adames leads the Brewers in walks in September. That's when you know he's locked in. He's staying disciplined. He's not swinging out of his shoes 24-7. He's got 9 walks, 17 strikeouts in the month, but it gets even better during this 8-game hitting streak he's on. Right now, Willie's hitting .414 during this 8-game hitting streak, 4 doubles, 4 homers, and his walks and strikeouts are even. 8 walks, 8 strikeouts during this 8-game hitting streak. Crazy eights. That is how you know this dude is locked in and putting the team on his back. That's the good note that we learned from this weekend and from this last week or so. Willy Adames is in fuego. Let's give that man some help and try to get some more base runners for him to hit more 3-run bombs like he did all weekend against the Yankees. Let's talk about the odd. Colton Wong's defense. 3 straight errors? What? This is such a weird season defensively. My bold prediction at the start of the year is that if Colton Wong stayed healthy, I said he was going to win a Gold Glove this season. Well, he didn't stay healthy. He's certainly not winning a Gold Glove. If you don't follow Mike Petriello on Twitter already, I highly encourage that you do. He's one of the masterminds at StatCast and MLB.com and also appears on MLB Network. Mike's a great dude, really smart dude. He had a fascinating thread. I actually retweeted it over the weekend as well about what's going on with Colton Wong's defense, citing a lot of Baseball Savant's tools, citing some fan graphs as well. Really, really encourage you to read it. Paraphrasing is that his arm is literally the worst arm among second basemen in all of baseball, and it has cost him and the Brewers this season. And I mean, the weird error yesterday by not having his foot on the bag, and then not truly an error, but the ball that was hit down the first base side that hit off the jut down the right field corner and kicks out the shallow right. The second baseman has to be aware of that, especially the home second baseman. We've seen that happen before in this ballpark, to be getting out there just in case that jut happens, and it did, and Colton was late reacting to it. Just little things like that have been adding up all season. And I mean, he's still going to be your everyday second baseman because he's your best option there defensively. But man, it is such a weird thing. And let's be honest, too, at the rate the things have gone with his health and his offense and, quite frankly, his defense, he's got a team option coming up this offseason. I don't think he's coming back, y'all. I mean, Colton Wong, he's owed $10 million next year. It would be a $2 million buyout, which I think the Brewers are very prepared to do for him to not to come back next season for a team option. He is not worth $10 million at this point. I feel that he's had a really odd year. Somebody else would pay him that on the market or get, you know, maybe $5 million, like he's maybe closer to what he's making this year. He's making 8.5 this year. So where does it come from? You know, it's someone else is going to have to step in and say, all right, Colton, you're not worth the $8 million that you were with the Brewers anymore. And I wonder what this offseason is going to look like for him, given how bad of a walk year it has been for him. He's hitting .245. His on base is about the same. His slugging went down from last year. Defense has been alarming. So I'm rooting for him. He's a great dude. He loves Wisconsin, but he's just not worth $10 million next season. The next point, the encouraging point, the last one here of this segment. The bullpen middle relief and the bullpen overall is going to get back on track. They have reinforcements on the way. Trevor Gott nearly had an immaculate inning in Nashville yesterday, so he sounds like he's going to be on the fast track coming back to Milwaukee here soon. Bush was available in yesterday's game. Matt Bush, remember, he pulled his groin on Tuesday in St. Louis. It was revealed before the game that he threw a light bullpen on Saturday, and he felt good enough that he would be available on Sunday. So he sounds good to go. They completely avoid an IL stint with him. Aaron Ashby also threw a bullpen over the weekend, and they know they're probably going to use him out of the bullpen this week, this next home stretch coming up. Not going to have enough time for him to stretch out into a starter. The debate now is he going to go to Nashville, or is he going to continue facing maybe live hitters and doing a bullpen and then just get straight activated onto the roster? So Ashby's on the way back, and Eric Lauer also threw over the weekend. So potentially his first day eligible off the IL is Thursday, and that's going to be a big part of our final segment here coming up in a sec. But and just for kicks and giggles, Freddy Peralta also threw over the weekend as well, and they're encouraged by what they're seeing, but there's not a firm timetable if and when he will pitch again this year. But they think, the Brewers, and Freddy specifically thinks, he will pitch again in a game this season, which I've said my thoughts about that on this podcast before. I don't want to see it. I think he's worth too much next season, that if you risk anything more serious, that it could really, really be an odd year next year. Maybe you consider if you get enough time to get into a DS round of the postseason, but I'm okay with letting him sit for the rest of the season. I'll explain why here in just a second. So that's my good, bad, odd, encouraging, alarming. Going through one more time. The good, Willy Adames on fire right now, putting the team on his back. The bad, the middle of the order slumping. Renfro, Kutch, Rowdy, someone's got to get going. The odd, Colton Wong's defense. What a weird year it's been for him. The encouraging, the bullpen getting reinforcements on their way in a week that they really, really need it. And the alarming, the holes in the rotation are revealed, but let's solve those rotation problems here in the next segment. So I very crudely mapped out the rest of the season. And if you're not familiar, 16 games to go. One more off day. It is a week from today, Monday. So the Brewers are in the midst of 10 games in a row right now. Three against the Yankees, three against the Mets, and then four this weekend against the Reds. Off day Monday, it'll be their last one. And then Tuesday and Wednesday will be at home against the Cardinals next week. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a four-game series with the Marlins in which you're probably going to see Sandy Alcantara. And then they finish up the season 2 weeks from Wednesday with a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. So I crudely mapped out, if you want to have Brandon Woodruff start the 161 game and Corbin Burns start the game 162, to close out your season. If you're saying, well, Dom, don't you want your best? Don't you want Woodruff going on Wednesday? Well, my thought is, what do you want? If you need to have Tuesday, the penultimate game, I would want Woodruff in that one as opposed to maybe having a chance to have Corbin Burns lose it. It's just been more consistency. Woodruff has earned it, and also would allow him to return faster potentially for a game three if the Brewers were to make the postseason. So that's part of the reason why I thought of it in that regard. But let me map it out for you of what I envision and what this series has coming up for the Brewers and the Mets. As we mentioned at the top of the show, Corbin Burns versus Max Scherzer coming up here tonight. That's going to be awesome. Tomorrow is TBA. We'll find out when we get to the ballpark today who's pitching tomorrow for both teams, mind you. And then Wednesday, it's scheduled to be Adrian Hauser. The big linchpin in all of this is Eric Lauer going to be activated on Thursday? That's the big question. We'll find that out this week. And that kind of hinges, my rotation here hinges on him being activated on Thursday and making that start against the Reds on Thursday. In my estimation, this is what I would do if I were the Brewers brass. So you have Hauser going Wednesday. You would only need Hauser for three starts total, including Wednesday. Everyone really has got three more starts. So you have Hauser Wednesday. Lauer returns on Thursday. And I'll put Wu, Brandon Woodruff, on five games rest on Friday against the Reds. Corbin Burns would go on normal rest on Saturday. Then you still have Jason Alexander go back one more day to go back-to-back Sundays, go against the Reds. So he technically has to take an extra day of rest to keep Woodruff and Burns on their normal rotation. Then the off day Monday. That makes things interesting. So the off day next Monday would lead to Adrian Hauser pitching on the fifth game, not the fifth day, the fifth game on Tuesday against the Cardinals. Then Eric Lauer, same thing, on the fifth game, not the fifth day, on Wednesday, which would then align Woodruff on Thursday against the Marlins, Burns on Friday against the Marlins, and then with that setup, Jason Alexander starts Saturday, Hauser starts Sunday, and then your final series of the year against the Diamondbacks, you would have Lauer, Woodruff, and Burns all on normal rest. I think that's a pretty good setup. Again, you would have to have Burns start today, Burns start Saturday, Burns start next Friday against the Marlins, and then he would start the finale of the season. Then you would have Brandon Woodruff start Friday against the Reds, next Thursday against the Marlins, and then the following Tuesday against the Diamondbacks. I think it's doable. I think it's possible. And the Brewers obviously have to give themselves a fighting chance to stay in this. The big TBA is tomorrow. Ashby's probably not going to be back. Might be another bullpen day. And things also get interesting in that if Lauer is not able to go Thursday, you do have maybe Ashby on the way back. Maybe you have an opener type situation. Maybe you get creative. But the only days, you know, if Eric Lauer is not available Thursday, you just kind of move things around based on that. But I would try to find a way to have Woodruff and Burns pitch Tuesday and Wednesday of that final series of the year. So I just wanted to map that out for you of what I anticipate, what I would hope anyway, the Brewers do. And maybe that's what they're thinking moving forward this week of what they have to set up for the end of the season. Aaron Judge is good, y'all. Man, that was really impressive. Yankees Twitter got a hold of that tweet that I put out yesterday that Aaron Judge, all five of his balls in play were over 110 miles an hour. That's the first time that's ever happened in the StatCast era. But he's also the first one to ever have four hits all over 110 miles an hour, regardless of the number of balls in play that he puts in. He's good, man. I mean, I walked into this series thinking he was probably the MVP. I'm walking away from this series saying, yes, he's the MVP. But I'm really encouraged to see how many West Coast riders or how many, maybe National League voters that haven't had a chance to see a lot of Judge and Ohtani. Because remember, it's all mixed up on the Baseball Writers Association of America of who votes for what. It's a big union. So I wonder how it's going to shake out. I believe it would be robbing Judge at this point now that he's chasing Roger Maris officially. I mean, he's going to pass him. So if that's what it takes to pass Shohei Ohtani in an MVP race, I think that's fair. Right, a record that has stood for 61 years versus a guy that is playing great baseball. He's getting freakish baseball. But I think when we look back in 25 years at this season, and if Ohtani continues on this trajectory that he's on and he becomes one of the best baseball athletes to ever play the game, and we sit back in 25 years, like, wait, how did Ohtani not go back-to-back when he was a better pitcher, better power hitter, and all this stuff, you know, this year as opposed to last? And then you look, oh, right, Aaron Judge broke Roger Maris's record. I think that's a fair, warranted statement. I think that's A-okay with me. And now he's got a chance at the Triple Crown. And I found this stat as well. 11 Triple Crown seasons all time in all of Major League Baseball history. Only 7 of the 11 have won the MVP. 4 times they have not won the MVP in a Triple Crown. Ted Williams, twice it happened to him, including once against Joe DiMaggio with the Yankees in 1947, of course, when DiMaggio had 56-game hitting streak. Ted Williams won the Triple Crown. Voters said, eh, Joe DiMaggio it is. He also won before World War II when it was a weird year, 1942, because some guys had gone off to war already, but I digress. It was a really fascinating list. Baseball Reference is amazing. I hope you subscribe. Okay, this is a long episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Wanted to break things down. Update from me, post-game tonight on WTMJ. Hope you tune in. I am on my way to Tampa by the time you're listening to this right now. I'll be with BA for Astros and Rays from the Trop tomorrow night. I will do my best to do a pod for Wednesday morning. I can't make a promise for you yet, but there will be a pod for you tomorrow morning, Tuesday. I can't make a promise for Wednesday morning, but then we'll be right back on schedule for Thursday morning. So don't worry, not going anywhere. And then we should be back on track for the rest of the season, not missing any more weekday podcasts. All right. Post game tonight. Hope you can tune in. Man, ace off. Let's have some fun. 7:10 first pitch. Brewers and Mets. 3-game set. Get to see old friend Eduardo Escobar. Really, really excited to see it. And hope you can tune in. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. Thanks for making us your first listen of the day. I'm Dominic Catronio. You can follow me on Twitter at Dom_Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers. Your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.